It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
When I was a kid, I never found Bugs Bunny or any of the other Warner Brothers Looney Tunes cartoons funny. I didn't. Didn't find them funny at all. Being a kid, I just more or less followed the story. Well, that was then, and this is now. As an adult, when I look at these things, I consider it the funniest stuff ever produced. All of them. Every single character. Not just Bugs Bunny, all the others. Marvin the Martian. Oh, how positively dandy. I've discovered another Earth creature. Where's the kaboom? There's supposed to be an Earth-shattering kaboom. It's the Illudium Q36 Exploding Space Modulator. And that giant rooster from the South Foghorn Leghorn. Come here, I say, come here, boy. I'll learn you how to play ball. I say, there's something kind of yee about a kid that don't play baseball. But nothing, and I mean nothing, is funnier than Sylvester and Tweety Pie. My favorite? Sylvester the cat is on a train being transported as a pet next to a bulldog also being transported. The bulldog is caged up, so he can't get to Sylvester. The dog starts barking. Sylvester picks up this big baseball bat, hits him on the head, going, "Ah, shut up!" Well, I can't do it justice. Instead, let's let Sylvester speak for himself.
Ah, shut up!
Folks, I can't even think about that scene without needing to control my laughter. And sometimes, while watching the news, listening to leftist politicians and leftist pundits, I find myself desperately wanting to hear from Sylvester. And so tonight we bring back a beloved feature of the Bob Siegel Show, Sylvester Tells the Left to Shut Up. Now, some of you don't like the word shut up. You don't like the fact that I'm using that word. Chill out. And notice that I'm not calling them Nazis or justifying any violence, but calling them out? Sure, why not? And who better to do it than Sylvester? We'd be here all night if everyone deserving was featured. Instead, I'll offer just a few, starting with a classic from the past. Whoopi Goldberg on the Bill O'Reilly Show, back when O'Reilly was on the air, when he was on Fox. This was a long time ago, but she continues to speak her mind on The View and other places. And this particular comment is priceless because she's confessing the true source of her opinions. Let's listen in. Bill O'Reilly interviewing Whoopi Goldberg.
I back mine up day long with
you
facts
back up
and everything else.
But you know what? Your opinion is your opinion. And if you want to go and get lots of facts and not go from your heart, I go from my heart.
Ah, shut up!
So she admits it. It's a 100% feeling level, her opinions about the news. She really is a phenomenal actress, and that part she played in Star Trek The Next Generation, Guinan was one of the wisest women we've ever seen. Shows what a good actress Whoopi is, because Whoopi's nothing like Guinan. Moving into the present, few embody the brilliance of the left like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I'm sorry, is she really accusing Charlie Kirk on being ignorant? Uneducated?
His rhetoric and beliefs were ignorant, uneducated, and sought to disenfranchise millions of Americans. Far from the working, quote, working tirelessly to promote unity, unquote, asserted by the majority in this resolution.
Ah, shut up!
The very idea of a person like her challenging the intelligence of Charlie Kirk simply because he chose not to get a degree from institutions that indoctrinate people, she wouldn't have lasted 30 seconds with him in the debate. Not 30 seconds. She wouldn't have even been able to articulate his points. I'm not saying she had to agree with his points. I'm saying she wouldn't have even been able to comprehend them. She wouldn't have been able to explain where they supposedly break down. Now, to be fair, her skills in the area of facts are somewhat rivaled by Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett.
A matter of them bending the knee again to Trump. It is the cult-like mentality that we see that is becoming pervasive in this country, where they say that he's our ruler. It doesn't matter what he does. He can violate the law. We should just ignore it. We should not ignore it. We have never accepted this from anybody else. And the only reason we're facing a crisis right now is because he wants to act as if the Constitution doesn't apply to him. Well, I have news for him. If he wants to be in this country where we believe in a democracy, then he needs to abide by our laws as well as the Constitution.
Ah, shut up!
Jasmine, name one law that the Trump administration is violating. Just one. I can name laws that the Biden administration violated. Opening our border, that violates the Constitution. That violates his oath as president to defend the United States. How about forgiving student loans, taking money from parents whose kids didn't go to college, and giving it to kids who did? That was overturned by the Supreme Court. He continued doing it anyway. Naturally, a collection like this wouldn't be complete without Governor Gavin Newsom predicting that President Trump is going to try to cheat in the 2026 election, the midterms, so that he can keep his Republican Congress and increase his Republican Congress. He's accusing him ahead of time of cheating.
I think there's a growing recognition in this country, not just with Democrats, independents, but also Republicans, that de facto the Trump presidency ends in November of next year. If the American people are given a fair chance and a voice and a choice, we will take back Congress. The President of the United States recognizes that, so he wants to rig the game.
Ah, shut up!
What's really going on is that Newsom plans to accuse Trump of fixing the election, and he will make that accusation no matter what happens, no matter what the evidence, no matter what the outcome. What he's doing now is giving his future accusation a context so that it won't seem like left field, so that naive people will categorize this prediction as actual evidence for his case, somewhat of a self-fulfilling prophecy. This from the same people who call you an election denier if you believe the 2020 election was stolen from Trump. They'll deny elections themselves till they're blue in the face when they lose. In fact, they contest almost every election we've had in recent political history. But we aren't allowed to contest elections. Only them. When we do it, we're insurrectionists. See how it works? We do it, we're insurrectionists. They do it, they're saving democracy. Next, Kamala Harris, fresh on her book tour, explaining again that Trump is a dictator, this time calling him a communist dictator.
A tyrant. We used to compare the strength of our democracy to communist dictators. That's what we're dealing with right now, Donald Trump. And these titans of industry are not speaking up.
Ah, shut up!
Of course, she just endorsed Zoran Mondami, an actual honest-to-goodness Marxist. But Trump is a communist? The guy who lowers taxes? The guy who tries to reduce government? A communist? A dictator? Trump is criticized publicly every single day. Who's ever gone to jail for criticizing him? A real dictator wouldn't send you to jail for criticizing him. He'd shoot you for criticizing him. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today by columnist Mike Friedenberg. Welcome, Mike.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me. I must confess, I am getting a little concerned about Trump and his oppression of free speech. I mean, I was looking at ABC and they had somebody talking about how Trump was going to take away their free speech. Then I went to NBC, they had it. They had it on CNN, MSNBC. Then I went to Blue Sky. They had thousands of posts about it as a threat to free speech. Then there's reporters.
And we heard just as many threats the first 4 years he was in office and the years
then
leading
up to
that.
Then on X, it's got literally thousands and thousands of posts. So everywhere I go, every possible media channel, every venue, every media outlet has people talking
and the
about
the thing they thought they had was Jimmy Kimmel, who was back on the air 3 days later because ABC capitulated. Gee, I thought Trump was the one who got him off the air. How did he get back on the air so quickly?
So I guess my point, though, is, I was trying to make this little point, is if I'm able to go to thousands of different media sources of every type and variety, and they're talking about the threat to free speech, what
they're
does that
using
tell you?
Their free speech to what express their stupid
it's
concern.
It's telling us that there's no threat to their free speech. That's the bottom line. Okay, that's the point. But anyway, once again, it was last minute, trying to figure out stuff for the show, but I did manage to scrape stuff together to talk about, Bob.
Yes, so hard to find news about
it
Trump.
Is. So there's a number of things I want to talk about tonight, but one of the things I want to talk about was, I did sit through, it wasn't that long, I watched the actual press conference when they announced the link between autism and Tylenol.
The possible link, yes. Yeah.
And anyway, I was very impressed with it. They had a really, really good group of people there talking about it. And I just really want to say what was said at the press conference, because if you go and you read, your typical media outlet, first of all, I did do a search, and about 10 to 20% of the articles out there are actually even reporting what was said about the press conference. Other articles, NPR was saying, pregnant women taking Tylenol to spite Trump. So you have people on YouTube, pregnant women taking Tylenol.
Now, I've seen some of this. This is just, it just goes to show that the only doctrine the left has is if Trump is for it, they're against it. If Trump wanted to save lives, he should get on the air and tell women to take Tylenol, then they'll stop taking it. That's what he should do. It's like when he was recommending hydroxychloroquine. He finally said, I never should have said anything, because that was the only reason people were against it. He should come out. He should say, I believe in open borders. He should make a list of everything he wants to do, list the opposite, and then the Democrats and the left will work. He should say we should dox ICE agents. He should say that. Then everybody will do the opposite.
Well, it does seem that way. However, the NPR story was about how Trump is blaming mothers again, blaming those poor mothers for actually taking Tylenol when they felt pain. So he's blaming them. And it's so ludicrous.
It wasn't. And even then, I saw some of that press conference. They were just saying, maybe don't take as much. Maybe you would think a woman, even if she hates Trump, would say, okay, this is my baby, my unborn baby. I should at least look into this. I should at least ask my doctor what he thinks. But to just go and take extra dosages. So they hate Trump more than they care about the health of their babies. Is that what's going on?
I don't know. So anyway, Donald Trump started off the press conference. He spoke for a bit. Then Robert F. Kennedy came on. Then Marty Makary, who's the commissioner for U.S. Food and Drug Administration. He's a surgeon, a professor of surgery at Johns Hopkins University. He came on and spoke. Then we had Jay Bhattacharya, who is the director of Institutes of National Health. He's a physician and epidemiologist, professor of health policy at Stanford University. So I could go down there, but they had a really impressive group of people. And what they said is, like what you said, they basically said, okay, by the way, the White House press release has peer-reviewed, top-tier journal articles citing multiple studies going back many years about a strong link and correlation between Tylenol use at certain levels, at certain times in the pregnancy, and autism, and also ADHD. So it is science. And one of the other things they brought up that I thought was very interesting, and I think Robert F. Kennedy made this point, that with the explosion of diagnosed autism cases. And by the way, they're trying to say it's a matter of, before we weren't diagnosing, that's why we're seeing the explosion. No, there's been studies that really do show there has been a massive increase of autism. Well, with this massive increase, it can't be all genetically related. Yet most of the studies, the vast majority of studies being but at autism are looking for the genetic links. Now, there could be a genetic link in the sense that maybe a certain genetic profile makes you more predisposed, but that would not explain the explosion. The only thing that you can explain the explosion is environmental factors, and an environmental factor that they've identified for right now is Tylenol. It's very reasonable, and as you said, basically it's saying consult your doctor. Take a look at the pros and the cons. Weigh the risks and the benefits.
It wasn't a big alarm. It was just, this is something to look into, something to consider.
A very reasonable approach.
But it came from Trump, and that's the end of it.
I know, and so it's crazy. What's really sad about it is when you do a survey of more of the left-center liberal publications, all of them, basically, except for maybe 5-6%, just basically the whole purpose of the articles was to discredit what was being said. So if you're a woman who may someday be pregnant or are pregnant but right now, you're getting all your information from this completely polarized news sources.
Still, you'd think they'd say, with my baby, I'm still not going to take any chances. Even if this news source that I trust, I'm going to ask my doctor.
But what if the news source is a high-credentialed doctor comes on and says, this is 100% bogus, there's no credibility? I'm just saying, Bob, that I think that it's just sad. That's all I'm just saying. That is very sad that you have
to polarize. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I did take 2 Tylenol capsules this morning, but that's because I was experiencing some pain, and I'm not pregnant. So, and it had nothing to do with Trump.
By the way, I'm not trying to knock down taking Tylenol. I think it's a great medication. If you take it, that's fine. However, it is one of the more toxic, regularly unprescribed medications we have in this country. You can easily overdose on Tylenol. It's very easy to do, and it's the number one cause of acute liver failure in this country. It's dozens of times less safe for you in terms of, you know, your normal daily dose, what's recommended versus being able to overdose. Like if you multiply your daily dose by a couple times and you take it all one time, that can cause problems compared to ivermectin, which was demonized. So ivermectin is many, many, many times safer than Tylenol. Now that we're talking about ivermectin, I have one of the pet peeves, the remdesivir, which flew through getting FDA approval, is hundreds of times more toxic than ivermectin. Yet they got it through it and it cost a lot of money. So I'm just telling you, I'm glad they're doing some major reforms at the FDA and other organizations, the National Institutes of Health, because they really need it, because they were not serving our interests. And we saw that big time during the COVID lockdowns there. So anyway, consult your doctor, balance the trade-offs, for example, you know, being in an acute pain all
and
the way.
And have other criteria than if Trump is for it,
right.
I'm against it, for crying out loud.
And it's true that it'd be acute pain all the way through your pregnancy can also negatively impact the baby too. So,
of course,
so
of
you
course.
Have to,
and
by
again,
the way,
nobody's saying you can never take it. Just look into it. Don't just go, oh, Trump's for it. He's Hitler. I can't do it.
And by the way, you can also rotate and to break up the cycle of taking ivermectin.
Take some aspirin, you take some Tylenol, some
But you can't take ibuprofen.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
No, that's very bad. Okay.
All right.
And obviously,
well, now wait a minute. Does Trump say it's bad, or are you saying it's bad?
Trump said it was good.
Oh, well, then it must be bad.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Okay.
Good.
So,
good save, Mike. Good save.
Yes. So, I wanted to talk about that. That is important there. Now, I did want to talk about some things, and I wanted to talk about the asymmetric nature we've all been experiencing for many, many years, in terms of how conservatives or people for more conservative cause are treated when they're arrested or accused of crimes. And, you know, and one of the biggest discrepancy was the January 6th arrests and prosecutions. And those...
That was an outrage.
Right now, there's this big...
You compare those to the people that protested during the Summer of Love, burning down buildings, literally shooting people, beating people up on the streets. No Democrat wanted to see them do any time at all.
So we had something like 1,300 plus years were given to J6 defendants, 1,200 that were convicted, okay? For all the riots, and there was 527 violent riots out of, there was something like 10,000 small and minor, but 527 violent riots, they received under 300 years of sentencing. For all
You're
those riots.
You're talking about other riots.
For all the George Floyd riots,
right.
Under 300 years, as opposed to over 1,300 years for the J6 defendants. Now, let's just talk about the injuries. One of the things that always irritated me is I look on it, and the stuff from the media was always very vague. And, you know, over 100 officers were injured and so forth and so on. And, you know, gosh, it was so violent. Okay, well.
The only person that was killed was one of the people breaking in, and she was a military veteran, and she was shot by a police officer.
So let's break down the injuries a little bit. So there was 140 injuries. Of those, only 15 required hospitalization, and everybody was out by the 11th, and none of them were life-threatening, and most of the hospital injuries were the kind of walk-in, walk-out, get some treatment. Now, there was a couple of broken bones and things like that, so I'm not condoning because the violence, that was wrong. However, I just want to put it in perspective here. Most of the officers just went home with some bumps and bruises.
But isn't it also true that there was footage of officers actually opening the doors to the Capitol building and letting them in?
Well, there was that.
And we know there were FBI dressed as plainclothes trying to egg it on. So there's a lot of stuff that was going on that you don't hear much about.
Yes, but I just want to compare that to the thousands of injuries police officers suffered during the George Floyd Antifa BLM riots, including the stuff that was happening there. Nobody was throwing bricks at the January 6th protest, that a small segment during the riot. Nobody was throwing frozen water bottles. Nobody was shooting fireworks in the police officers. Nobody was throwing Molotov cocktails. All these things were common at the George Floyd protests.
And the high majority, the high majority of the people that were out in Washington, D.C. that day to protest the election didn't even try to break in.
Oh, no, not even close.
It was just a sliver of them.
I was there. There was over 500,000 people there. I can tell you that the crowd there was very pro-law enforcement. If, for example, and I did see this case, if somebody had tried to do anything against a police officer, for the vast majority of that crowd, they would have been tackled and taken down. Of course, there's a lot of reasons, and a lot of people believe that the Capitol was basically left undefended for the purpose of trying to promote something like this happening. You know, some people believe that. It's hard to prove. They only had 217 officers there to protect, you know, on the outside. But one of the reasons they rationalized they get away with it is because millions of people had attended Trump rallies throughout the country, right, all over the place, literally millions, with no violence whatsoever, right? So maybe they thought that. But then if you take a look at the breakdown and chain of command, Trump was not the person responsible for the National Guard in this at all. Not, he wasn't even in the chain of command for National Guard.
But he offered the National Guard.
He did offer
it. Suggested the National Guard. They wanted the optics of a break-in. They wanted that.
Well, it's certainly, in terms of what's been going well for Democrats, that is one. It shut down all the questions about, for example, we had a number of legislators, Ted Cruz and other people, that were going to question the election
integrity. That's what bothered me. I got up that morning, and what that day was supposed to be about was a heavy discussion of the election and whether the election in certain states should be recertified and recounted.
What this did is
immediately changed the narrative and sucked all the oxygen out of what we were supposed to be talking about.
It killed it. So in terms of who benefited, the people that I believe were involved with a lot of election fraud and didn't want to look at too closely certainly benefited from those riots.
They sure did. I still think the shoe's going to drop on that one with all the things we're finding out now about Comey and all that. Anyway, hold that thought, Mike. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm joined again with Mike Friedenberg.
So just to finish up, one of the things that I was watching a show where they had one of the January 6th defense attorneys on. He was defending the people that were being prosecuted. And something he brought up was very interesting. He said, you know, a lot of the assaults you hear about, the assaults were a police officer literally being touched or somebody brushing by a police officer. They were charged and received time for that.
Just brushing by, and they were counting that as an assault.
Yeah, because it's true. If you touch
somebody.
Whereas
when buildings were being burnt down during the summer of love, that was a mostly peaceful protest.
So 600 of the so-called assaults were incidental contact. That was either touching or brushing by or pushing by, but not an actual intent to hurt the officer. So I'm just saying it's night and day. It shouldn't have happened. It was foolish. It played right into the left's hands, but there is no comparison. And it really irritates me when we talk about all the writing of that.
I've heard greatest time. Threat to our democracy since the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the Civil War. And yet all kinds of federal buildings were burnt down during the Summer of Love. Not to mention that Trump was in the White House. People tried to attack the White House. You never heard a word. You could hear the crickets in front of the Democrats during that time.
Yeah, and then one final thing on this. 1,500 shops and stores were looted and burnt. 1,500. So it's just really ridiculous. Another thing I want to talk about is you've probably been hearing about the tax on churches.
Yes.
The explosion of tax on churches.
There was another one today. It was a Mormon church.
And what we hear that at least, what,
couple? Several people were killed.
Several people were killed.
And a lot of news is still coming in about that one. I just heard this right before coming out to the station. Yep. Very sad. Our condolences to the families. Just horrible. I hate to say it, but we're growing numb to this stuff practically.
So the point is very little was done on this. When I did research on the FBI and the nationwide response, whenever an abortion clinic was attacked, now it's been a while since there have been any kind of major attacks on abortion clinics, but even minor things, the FBI springs into action, every resource, you know, nothing there. But under the Biden administration, they had it on, you know, the back burner, hey, you know, go away, we don't want to be, you know, bud with it, on both the churches and the pregnancy resource centers. Those were the, you know, places that provide services for women that were pregnant that may be considering an option other than abortion, plus services for women who are, you know, small children. So those are the tax, major tax on there. So I'm just pointing out that there's two parts of the asymmetry. One is that the right, people that are conservatives, don't attack and go violent as often. And number two, but when they do, we've been seeing the law land on them really, really big time, whereas over 90% of the people charged with crimes in the George Floyd riots were let go. Okay, so it's both how the law...
And Kamala Harris set up a fund to get them off.
So... Another item, just switching hats here in the news, is the pending shutdown.
Yes, and of course the Democrats spin this as they're just trying to save the middle class. What they want is health care for illegal aliens, which DOGE was getting rid of. I mean, let's just be clear on what the Democrats are asking for. Well, and they'll settle for nothing less than that. They're going to shut the government down.
So,
and blame it on Republicans and say Trump shut the government
down. The continuing resolution, and I just happened to catch an interview with Mike Johnson this morning on Maria Bartiromo, and it was very interesting. First of all, the goal of the Republican Congress and hopefully the Republican Senate is to actually get away from these big omnibus bills and have 12 separate appropriation bills like they're supposed to have.
Which is a much better way to do it.
So there's accountability. So they've gotten all 12 appropriation bills through the House Appropriation Committee. They've gotten three through the full vote of Congress, two the Senate. However, with the deadlines, they can't get those taken care of. So what they're asking for is a seven-week continuing resolution. The continuing resolution does not contain anything that the Democrats have not already voted for. In other words, everything in there they've always voted for, and it's basically identical to the one they voted on before. But remember what happened to Chuck Schumer when he voted the last time to get the continuing resolution done without putting up a big fight? He was trashed by his own party.
So he is not going to do that.
He was threatened to lose his leadership. So basically, that's what this is all about.
He's going to cave on everything. He's going to go and support that idiot in New York City also. Schumer's going to cave in on it.
So, but the good news is that they're going to try to get this done, but they have three appropriation bills already ready to be reconciled, you know, with the back and forth process with the U.S. Senate.
Does the filibuster come into play with this reconciliation with these budget bills? Because don't the Republicans have enough majority in both houses to just do it and not have to talk to the Democrats?
I do believe that on these types of bills, unless it's a reconciliation process, that you need to have
the 60 votes. We've got to get rid of that filibuster. It's just the stupidest rule Congress has ever had.
Speaking of that, there is one Democrat who says he's going to side with the Republicans on not doing the shutdown.
Is that Fetterman?
Yes.
Yeah, he's about the only sane one they have left.
And he's the only one that's really speaking, that's really very strong.
Enough with the Hitler talk, enough with the Nazi talk.
And also with defending Israel.
Yeah, I have to admit, he's been pretty good, Fetterman.
No, he's been very good. I'm going to give him the benefit. I believe that he's doing this because it's what he believes. But from a political perspective in a state like Pennsylvania, man.
It's also wise, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's
Pennsylvania has become a purple state. Their other senator is a Republican. And the other senator and Fetterman work very well together. I've seen them come on TV together a lot.
Yes. So that's also been of interest there. Now, we're always concerned about election integrity, and it's not been that great. It reached probably a low point in 2020. I mean, I believe that was a low point. I don't know if you've heard of the Carter Baker Commission on Election Integrity. It was a federal project done in 2005. Jimmy Carter, and I think it was Howard Baker, or Jim Baker. I forget which one of the Bakers it was. And they came out with recommendations. So what I did is I went through and I pulled out of the major recommendations, and then I compared and contrasted what happened in 2020. And
I'm guessing they didn't abide by too many of those recommendations.
The number one recommendation of that report, which everybody at the time agreed was a fine piece of work, was
in-person voting.
Restrict or abolish on-demand absentee voting. Restricted. They said that was the number one, when they looked across the world, that was the number one vehicle through which voter fraud was committed.
COVID was their Trojan horse to do absentee balloting. There were Democrats coming out saying, if you believe in voting in person, you're a murderer. You're a murderer because of COVID.
Also, you should set up a national database so that everything comes together. So when people move out of state or move in state, you can basically track who is actually allowed to
and
vote.
And Democrats don't resurrect from the dead every 4 years to vote again.
So we don't have that. So that's bad. Now, we didn't have that before 2020. But really what these types of things do, though, is when you don't have these good basic election integrity provisions in place, then you really supercharge the kind of fraud you can do with all mail-in ballots. So these are things that need to be worked on. What was the other thing? Maintain accurate voter rolls by having them very clean. So basically, we have these bloated voter rolls with people that have been dead forever, with people who move out of state, and every time the Republicans try to clean it up, they put a lawsuit. The Democrats
They're accused of being racist.
Voter.
Yeah, you're keeping black people from voting. Except and yet every black person interviewed on the street says he has no problem getting identification.
Well, then this
all.
Wasn't even voter right now. But that's not, I'm just talking about having clean voter rolls. In other words, if you just keep bunches of dead people on.
Well, how are they justifying that one?
They're justifying it
because racism is the way they get away with everything else.
If you clean up the voter rolls,
you'll accidentally take somebody.
A tenth of a percent might come off that should be on there, and they would be disenfranchised.
Yeah. So because of the exception to the rule that needs
to be massive exception to the rule.
We won't change the rule.
The fact that anytime somebody that votes illegally or a fraudulent vote is submitted, that it disenfranchises.
That's like saying
matter.
We shouldn't have any police because they might arrest the wrong person. Oh, wait, they already say that about ICE.
The other thing that we saw in the 2020 elections is last minute, even illegal changes to voting procedures.
There were states that were changing election laws through the courts, which is completely unconstitutional.
Or
the governor's doing it
or
by
the
executive
of state
order.
Not having the authority to do
yes,
it. And they got away with it.
Yeah. And those were some of the things they were going to contest on January 6th that we never got to because of the stupid break-in.
Now, since then, there have been some court cases that have validated what they did was illegal. So that's a positive. Michigan, for example, or Pennsylvania, or both, that has been validated. So that's good. Now, speaking of the bloated voter rules, I mentioned this before, but Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton's group, you've probably seen them on, They have cleaned up millions and millions of expired bad votes off of voter rolls off of several states. So they've been doing really good work.
Boy, George Soros must be working around the clock to do something about that.
One of the things that the Carter Commission said is a sign that fraud's probably being committed is allowing late ballots to come in. And of course, we had that it was a plague of it. And we're counting ballots here,
I like the enormous amount that suddenly came in at midnight in six different states that stopped counting all at one time. That was the one that was amazing to me. Okay, Mike, hold with me. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So the last thing the Carter Commission pointed out is that you need to have adequate funding and resources for secure voting operations. Now, and a great example of a very large state, that has efficient voting is Florida. They get it done before the night's out.
They used to be the worst. They used to have that woman that was holding things up for a month, and the first thing DeSantis did when he got in as governor went in and he fired her.
So it can be done. However, one of the things is I had an epiphany because I've been looking at voter integrity issues for a while, and I watched a couple different court trials on the Arizona fraud issues and things like that. They had a judge that no matter what was not going to rule and find that there was voter irregularities or fraud. However, one of the things that was interesting, they had, I think it was three separate women got up and talked about how much time they had to validate challenge signatures, and it was like a second for each one. And what the epiphany was that we went from mostly voting in person to these masses of vote by mail ballots coming in. The workload expanded by literally maybe a factor of 10, yet nobody hired 10 times as many people as they needed before to try to actually do a good job. For example, in Arizona, because the machines kept invalidating so many signatures, they kept lowering the machine verification. So from being like 20 points to 5 points, just so they could get it through. So then I just sat and said, you know what? Probably the reason that even a lot of Republican secretaries of states and Republican registrars of voters are not being forthcoming about the problems is they were embarrassed because they did not have the resources to handle this election. To handle a vote-by-mail election and to really have signature verification, you have to have a lot more people. So it's a more expensive election
to run. So you're saying they just went ahead and verified it and hoped it wouldn't be looked into?
Right. Oh, yeah, that's certainly what happened. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that happened. It happened a lot of places. And then the final one, which you brought up, as you pointed out, yes, voter ID, everybody agrees it's a good idea. Unless you're an absolute racist and you believe that black people cannot do this, only a racist would believe that black people would be against voter ID.
It's really not like people, all people, black people, white people, don't have IDs for everything else. You can't get on a plane. You can't get into the Democratic convention without ID. It's insane. You can't buy alcohol without ID, but you can vote without ID.
So something else that's been in the news is this new 21-point peace plan being proposed by President Trump. You know, I downloaded it. I looked at it. You know, I'm certainly no expert on it or anything like that, but I do see a couple problems with it. The big problem is that it does say that in, you know, point 20 out of 21, I believe, after the Gazans have done these things, they'll be on their way to achieving statehood, which has been one of their aspirations. And I think that that's been a no-go for Israel, for many people, for a long time, for a number of reasons. In fact, Netanyahu said, imagine giving Al-Qaeda a city, what is it, 50 miles away or 50 miles away from your capital after they blow up
the Twin Towers? It's insane. And look, without doubt, President Trump has been the most pro-Israeli president we have ever had. I appreciate all that he's done. But Trump likes to make deals. He likes to be seen as somebody who makes deals. There can be no Palestinian state for several reasons. First of all, the Palestinian Charter does not recognize Israel's right to exist. Now, I know everybody's aware that the Hamas Charter doesn't recognize Israel's right to exist. You hear that in the news. What they don't understand is there's very little difference between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Charter does not recognize Israel's right to exist. At the Oslo Accords, they promised they would change it. It never really got changed. So Israel's supposed to recognize this Palestinian state, but the Palestinian state won't want that. Second, that's never been the issue. The Palestinians, even though they were not calling themselves Palestinians at the time, those people, the Arabs in the land, in 1947 were offered a state. They were going to partition Israel and an Arab state. They turned it down because they wanted no Israel. The surrounding Arab nations says we are going to annihilate Israel. It was never about a two-state solution. The only solution they are interested in is the final solution. The Jews dead. The only land they want to share is the Jews buried under the ground and then living on top. There can be no Palestinian state.
Bob. Point one, Bob. Now, this is going to give you a lot of comfort. Gaza will be de-radicalized and a terror-free
it's
zone.
It's never going to happen.
It will not pose.
The Palestinian kids are taught in kindergarten that Jews are devils. How are they going to de-radicalize that?
It's right here in black and white. It will be a terror-free zone that will not pose a threat to its neighbors.
Oh, wow, Mike. You didn't explain it like that. That settles it.
But what would de-radicalization... I did actually go online to see what some of the Gazan kids are taught in their classrooms, and they actually have math problems. Like, if you have 20 Israeli soldiers and you kill 10 of them, how many are left?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, literally, that bad.
Oh, yeah.
that bad. So, and Gaza will be rebuilt. One of the things interesting, of course, is that Trump was talking about this idea of getting the Gazans out of Gaza.
And then building a Trump Tower. I'd like, now that I'd be all for. Get rid of the Gazans and put up a Trump hotel and a Trump golf course. Now that kind of separate state, I think, would be just fine.
Okay, so anyway, apparently that's no longer flying there. The points here, obviously the devil's in the details, but the two-state solution, no.
Just think about this. You've got to recognize a Palestinian state, but they will never recognize you. And then they also, if you talk to any Palestinian and say, if you were given your own state, would everything be square with Israel? Any one of them will say no. Then we're going to press for the right of return. Then they have a right to return to Israel proper. Nothing Israel does is ever going to satisfy them. You know that the United Nations has had more condemnations against Israel than all other nations in the world combined over the years?
Yeah, no. In fact, when Netanyahu spoke there, they had like, what?
Two-thirds of the people got up and walked out.
Was it two-thirds?
Something
like
that.
Number, like,
yeah, yeah, maybe not quite that many, but it was close to that, yeah.
So that does kind of bring to another question is, for decades, being in the conservative Republican movement, I've heard this little phrase, UN out of the U.S. That's been a watch phrase. UN out of the U.S. UN out of the U.S.
I will say this. I love how Trump gave it to the UN last week. Mm. He raked them over the coals.
And I've always wondered, but the U.S. sitting on the Security Council for the United Nations, you can veto really bad things. And I know that the UN is sort of useless, but maybe one of the reasons it's been useless and hasn't done as much damage as it could is because the United States been there. I mean, what if we pulled out and we just left it to something like China and those other states there? Would they veto the UN saying, we are now going to put together a joint military force to stop the genocide of Gaza? Well, the United States vetoes that kind of things without the United States. So I have a mixed feelings on it. I mean, it depends how much money you're paying, saying, but just as a way to exert some influence to stop bad things from in other words, I don't have much hope of great things happening for the UN. But to stop it from bad things from happening, maybe there is a case for the United States to say in the UN.
I think we should close it down and turn it into a big public toilet. That's what I think we should do.
Not a new Trump Tower location?
Well, that would be okay, too. Well, we already have a Trump Tower in New York City that Mom Dami is going to get rid of, I'm sure.
Well, one of the things that it's known for is if you have asthma, you don't want to go there because there's cigarette smoke everywhere. I mean, it's a big smoking area.
What do you
area.
Think about how the elevator didn't work and the teleprompter didn't work? And they said Katie Pavlich was there. She said Trump's mic was turned way
down.
Well,
it was.
Now, the only reason we heard him so well is we were seeing it on TV.
Right.
And that was going directly into the network feed.
Right. So those three things, seems to me, those three things add up to be not an accident. Okay, I just, you know.
Well, plus they found some email exchanges or text exchanges from people that worked at the UN saying, wouldn't it be funny if we sabotaged the escalator?
Well, speaking of funny, there is a video on YouTube you can find of a poor, you know, like a businessman, a black African-American guy who's on an escalator and it stops.
Oh, I've seen that. And the people think they're trapped.
They're trapped on it. And he's saying, hello, hello.
Stay with us. Just a half hour. We'll have you down. Nobody's walking. Okay. Well, Mike, great having you on. We'll have you on again really soon. We'll see you all next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.